First, Pope Francis gave the official go-ahead for women to perform some duties typically reserved for men in the Catholic Church. The new directive lets women read from the Bible during Mass, hand out communion, and be altar servers. These are all things that Catholic women already do in many countries, but advocates say that the Vatican's move to formalize that role is a step towards gender equality in the Church. Women still can't be deacons or priests. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're Catholic yourself, are you glad to hear this from the Pope? Are there other changes you'd like to see, or do you think there have been enough changes already? Whatever your faith, what do you see as the relative relationships between men and women? Is your church inclusive to men and women alike? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Kathleen Corley is a professor of religious studies at UW Oshkosh. She teaches New Testament, Christianity, and women in religion. Kathleen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, as I mentioned, women in a lot of countries already do the stuff the Pope just gave the green light to. Why do you think the Pope decided to give the official approval to that right now?
Well, bishops, of course, have control over their dioceses, you know, the areas where they have jurisdiction. And so there were certain dioceses around the world that were not allowing women as servers or readers, lectors, or what they call acolytes, which are those who help the priest at the Eucharist or communion table.
Now, how big a deal is this announcement for the church? It may look like just some small duties, a small gesture. Is it significant?
Well, I think it's significant in terms of the overall direction of this particular pope. Pope Francis also opened in the last year a study of women deacons, which is another male role in the Roman Catholic Church. So he seems to be going in the right direction for many who would like to see more women's activities in the formal liturgy and worship of the church.
Now, what does the Pope's new decree not allow women to do in the church?
Well, the major thing that they would not be allowed to do would be they would not be able still to perform sacraments, which are special rights that the church has the right to confer, gives grace, really transmits grace to the believer through the priest or a deacon. There are seven sacraments, two of which may be done by deacons. So it still doesn't allow women to have a sacramental function, which is still reserved for men.
Historically, what led to men having these roles and not women within the Catholic Church?
Well, there's a couple of New Testament texts that forbid it. For example, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says a woman cannot speak in the church. She is to be silent. There's also 1 Timothy 2, which says women cannot teach or exercise authority over men. So the speech of women was problematic for centuries in the church. So giving institutionalization for women to speak, of course, remains important. And many women, of course, hope to be given more opportunities.
Now, this is all on the Catholic side of things. There are lots of different Protestant denominations, all with their own reads on those same issues and those same Bible verses. Can you talk about the variety of roles that women play in Protestant denominations?
Yes, in certain Protestant denominations, women can serve as ministers in the Episcopal and Anglican communions. They can already be priests and are able to perform these sacramental functions. And in some contexts, although only recently in the Anglican Church, women can even ascend to the level of a bishop. Other Protestant churches are still more conservative. Your Southern Baptists, your Wisconsin Lutherans, or your Missouri Synod Lutherans. In certain of the conservative Lutheran churches, because of the restrictions on women's speech, women cannot even vote in a community meeting.
We are talking about the Pope's announcement that the Catholic Church will officially allow women to play some particular roles during the Catholic Mass, not all of them. Kathleen Corley is with us, Professor of Religious Studies at UW Oshkosh, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions, maybe your own experiences in whatever your faith community might be. Let's go to your calls now. Samantha starts us off in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Anyway, what I was going to say is I was a Catholic for 25 years. Now I'm 39. I left the church long ago, but I still have family in it. And anyway, I was going to say when I was like in maybe like middle school, going into high school, they finally, the church I was going to at the time, finally let girls become servers. Because, you know, to help serve with the priest up on this, you know, thing and whatever, and, you know, hold his special book and all that stuff. Because before, they said that it was because all that those duties were of the men because of the disciples were men. So, you know, now things are really, you know, evolving and changing and, you know, stuff like that. I just wanted to bring that up. You know, that was really a fun time. So, yeah, that was all I had to say.
Samantha, yeah. Thanks a lot for that call. Kathleen, how does this affect someone, maybe a girl growing up in the Catholic Church, seeing themselves represented in at least some parts of the official Mass?
Well, I think representation is always important. I was raised as an Episcopalian in the United States, and there, you know, in the 60s, there was no role for women either in the priesthood or as acolytes. And the first time I saw a woman perform the Eucharist in an Episcopal church, I wept. I did not think that I would be so emotional or find it overwhelming, but it was extremely meaningful to me personally. And so I think representation is always important.
Thanks a lot for that call, Samantha, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Mark with us now in La Crosse. Mark, hi.
Hi. Well, I'm a lifelong Catholic, about 60 years. And, you know, the way I see it, there's a whole stack of glass ceilings for women in the Catholic Church that I really think the scriptural background for not allowing women to exercise full ministry is kind of flimsy. And about every 10 years, the church seems to, you know, break one of those glass ceilings. So, for example, in our diocese, we have girls are allowed to be servers. Deacons are allowed to be married, though their wives are not. And, you know, it's just kind of taking one step at a time, but I think they may eventually get there. I kind of wish they'd speed it up. But I have no problem with married priests or women priests in any level of our ministry. And that's my comment.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. And Kathleen, Mark would be happy to see those changes. Are there others in the Catholic community, though, who might see this as a slippery slope to too much change?
Well, I think there's really two sides to this discussion because, you know, your caller is correct. There are other places in the New Testament where women do serve in leadership roles. There's a woman deacon named Phoebe. There's a woman named Junia, called an apostle, both in Romans 16. But there are those that still see something like the priesthood as having an essential maleness because particularly Jesus was male. And so to represent Christ in the Eucharist or communion, the individual does still need to be male, as with the diaconate as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Kathleen Corley, Professor of Religious Studies at UW Oshkosh, looking at a statement from Pope Francis allowing a formal role for women in Catholic Church services, still leaving a lot off the table for women at the same time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you happy to see these changes? Not happy? Would you like to see more changes if you're a Catholic yourself? Do you have a question for our guest about how all of this works, how it all means? And what do you think about the role of the Catholic faith or whatever your faith might be in constantly changing times? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Kathleen Corley, professor of religious studies at UW Oshkosh. We're talking to her about a decision from Pope Francis to let women officially carry out some duties during the Catholic Mass. You could still join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your thoughts, and your questions. Let's go back to your calls now. Jody is with us in Monona. Jody, hi.
Hi. I think it's great. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I had three brothers, and my whole neighborhood was boys except me, and I was the only one who couldn't participate, and it really made me feel like my life wasn't as valuable as theirs. So I think it's terrific.
And did that change your attitude toward the church in the long run, Jody?
It did. I left the church when I became an adult.
Interesting. Jody, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Kathleen, what do you think?
Well, there are certain women who do leave the church over the lack of representation. At the same time, there are women religious who work very hard in schools and hospitals and actually have done a lot of the research that is behind some of these newer decisions. Someone like Carolyn Osiak, who's a Roman Catholic sister as well as a New Testament scholar, documented the hundreds of women deacons that are found in ancient inscriptions for hundreds of years, and also the existence of women called priests in the ancient church. So there are women who stay within the church and do a lot of work and still fight for change.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Jody. We'll go to Fern now in Shellman. Fern, hi.
Hi.
Would you want to tell us?
Yes, I'm not Catholic, but I grew up in the Norwegian Lutheran Church, which later morphed into, I suppose, Evangelical Lutheran. But anyway, when I was young, the men sat on one side of the church, and the ladies and the children, of course, sat on the other side. And I still remember the first woman that had the courage to get up and walk over and sit with her husband. And, of course, eventually, and not so long, the other women all followed suit.
Interesting, Fern. Thanks a lot for sharing that. So, Kathleen, at least by Fern's telling, the Catholic Church not the only one dealing with changing thoughts on the role of men and women in the congregation.
Oh, not at all. And gender segregation goes way back to the ancient world. I had not heard of that in modern times for the church. Gender segregation is still done in certain Orthodox Jewish congregations. But yeah, that's really interesting.
Fern,
so,
thank you.
Yeah,
Fern, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. You could join in at 800-642-1234, talking to Kathleen Corley, religious studies professor at UW Oshkosh, about an announcement from the Pope making official some roles for women in parts of the Catholic Mass. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to your calls now. Hannah is with us in Grafton. Hannah, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because my son was given his first communion about 8 years ago up here in the Cedarburg-Grafton area, and his dad and I are divorced, and I was the one solely responsible for getting him through the first communion program so that he could get it. Yet when it came down to the actual church service part where everything happened, the woman who was in charge of the program was emphatic that it was going to be a man. If it wasn't my son's dad, an uncle, an adult cousin, all male had to be the one who would go there to light the candle with him, even though there was no male responsible for getting him to that point.
Hmm. Interesting, what Hannah. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I'm just curious. What denomination?
Catholic, St. Francis Borgia.
Oh, it was Catholic. Wow. I'm not familiar with that practice. I would think that anyone could bring forward someone for the Eucharist. But yeah, that's hard to hear. So recent.
Hannah, thanks a lot for sharing that. And so there is official Catholic Church hierarchy and doctrine. But sometimes things might be done differently at a local level, maybe because of a forceful personality at one particular church, I imagine, Kathleen.
Yes, particularly bishops still have a lot of power, again, in their diocese. Even here, attending the Episcopal Church in Oshkosh, the bishop here in Fond du Lac diocese for decades did not allow women to be ordained or to be deacons, even though the larger national church was allowing it going back to, I guess, 72 or 76. So, there's always local differences and even differences from diocese to diocese. That is the case.
Thanks for sharing your story. We'll go to Jonathan now, calling from Nina. Jonathan, hi.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Jonathan?
I was just listening to your program, and I just wanted to let you know that I work at a church where we involve women in all facets of worship, and we're also an interfaith organization. So a lot of these churches, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, for example, are not representative of all churches. And so we're a United Church of Christ here in Appleton, and we welcome women for all levels of worship. So that's all I wanted to add.
Jonathan, thanks a lot for calling in. And there again, getting to the Protestant side of things, Kathleen, lots and lots of variety there.
Yes. Christendom is extremely diverse, and there's a lot of differing opinions on many of these passages in the New Testament, in the Bible. And so particularly once Christianity came to America, it really splintered after the Reformation.
Thanks again for that call. Zooming out a little bit here, Kathleen, this is one small part of a much bigger discussion, I think, in the Catholic Church of how much should the church change to reflect changing society and changing times. It's been going on for at least, I don't know, two centuries. And the conflicting idea is, well, we should match what changes are in society, or no, the point of being in the Catholic Church is to not twist and turn with the times. Can you put it in that context for us?
Yes, well, I think that's always been a struggle for the Catholic Church. Again, you know, my area is really the ancient world. And even at that time, there was a difference of opinion among Roman Catholics, or even some groups we now call Gnostic, who did seem to allow for women in leadership. There does seem to be a debate, because there was this distinction or difference even within the New Testament scriptural texts about what the role of women should be. Some have women being silent, others have women named as running house churches, or being a deacon, or being an apostle. So I think that's led to, you know, differences that go back centuries, really. And the debate is centuries old, even within the Catholic Church, which has been probably the most traditional of the larger Christian denominations in terms of being slow to change.
And when we do see change, sometimes there are, you know, measures that aim for some kind of, I guess, social progress, and then a reaction. And that can vary from one pope to another. And popes are selected sometimes, I think, on their attitude to those changes. What we're seeing from Pope Francis here, is this now carved in stone, or is this something that could change under a future papacy?
Well, a change in canon law is relatively significant. The Catholic Church has several grounds of authority. It's different from Protestants. Protestants really focus upon Scripture as their major authority, you know, going back to Luther, Sola Scriptura. But Roman Catholics, you know, the Pope has a lot of power. If he speaks ex cathedra, he can change policy or doctrine. You have canon law, then you have Scripture, but also tradition. And I think this particular pope is very interested in tradition because, as I said, he's opened this study about the role of women deacons in the early church. And there are hundreds of inscriptions naming women as deacons up until about probably the 4th century AD.
Time for one more caller. Rena is with us in Hale's Corners. Rena, hello.
Hi, this is more about the Protestant church, but there are still some ultra-right conservative Protestant churches where women don't even have a vote at congregational meetings. I belong to a more liberal one. We've been ordaining women for decades, but I was shocked that in 2021, there are still some Protestant churches that don't even allow the women a voice in a congregational meeting.
Rena, thanks for the call. Kathleen?
Yes, that still happens because, again, there are a couple of passages, particularly in 1 Corinthians 14 and also in 1 Timothy 2, that instruct women to be silent, particularly in the church and in the context of worship. So, I mean, there are other passages with different perspectives, but yeah, there are certain Protestant denominations that still focus on those more conservative authors that really gained the major traction going into about the 5th century AD and into the present.
Thanks for that call. Kathleen, in our last minute, we've got this announcement from the Pope. What are you watching for next in the Catholic Church in particular when it comes to women and their role?
Well, I'm going to be watching this study of women as deacons very carefully. I have a lot of Roman Catholics in my classes and a lot of women who are Roman Catholics. And they are very heartened by the actions of this Pope in regards to women. And I think that study of women deacons is very important because tradition is one of the pillars of authority in the Roman Catholic Church.
Kathleen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course.
Kathleen Corley is a professor of religious studies at UW Oshkosh. She teaches New Testament Christianity and women in religion. We talked to her today about the Catholic Church's recent decision to officially let women perform more roles during the Catholic Mass.